Now, from the weatherman in Kilkenny, Niall Donard, to the man that looks at everything up in the skies, or up in the planets, every Tuesday on Kilkenny Today, we have our astronomy slot with the editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine, David Moore, who keeps us up to date on every week on all that's going on above us. David, you're very welcome to Kilkenny Today.
Thank you very much, Eugene.
You're so welcome now. It's great. Great to have you. Now, let's talk about, we have a very interesting thing going on at the weekend, because we have the winter solstice. And now, a lot of people out there can't handle these dark nights. Me being one of them, I don't like them. But you're an exception to that, of course, as well, David, because you spend most of your time at night while we're all sleeping, doing what you do and getting us all the information. Tell us about what the winter solstice is about. How does that all come about? Just explain that to our listeners.
Yes, indeed. I think astronomy is a great hobby for vampires. But that aside, we've got the solstice, as you say, coming up. And today, believe it or not, is still autumn. Because the seasons, they've been trying to hijack them in the last few years, I've noticed. But the seasons are an astronomical event. It's to do with the tilt of the Earth's axis as we go around the sun. And historically, the winter has always begun at the in the northern hemisphere of the Earth, at least, at the December solstice. So that happens this Saturday.
The 21st.
At 9:20 a.m. Irish time. So that's when winter will begin in the northern hemisphere. And if the Met Office or anybody else tries to tell you otherwise, don't believe them. This idea that it's somehow linked to this month of the year, the months of the year are totally arbitrary. They were set up by people over the centuries and millennia. They've actually been changed. The start of the year has been moved. All these kind of things is completely arbitrary, whereas the Earth's axis defines the season. They happen because of the Earth's tilt. So we could all go back to 100% of it using the solstice and equinoxes to define the season. So December solstice to the March equinox, that is winter.
Okay. Now, okay, just okay, so winter starts on the 21st of December, and then it goes right through to the equinox in March. Is there a date for that?
Yeah, it's usually around the 20th, 21st of each month. And again, the reason is that there's 365 1/4 days in the year, and we let those quarters accumulate. And every 4 years, we have a leap day on the 29th of February to reset things back. So the times actually move forward by 6 hours every year. So it can sneak, I think it could even sneak into the 22nd of the month on occasion. But, you know, we can calculate it to second accuracy these days. So when we say that, you know, the winter solstice for Ireland begins at 9:20 on Saturday morning, you know, that's an exact date and time that we're certain of. And ultimately, if the calendar changes, even going forward centuries or millennia into the future, the tilt of the Earth's axis will define the seasons regardless, and we should always go by them. So that's the rule. Always has been. Things to do with the travel industry wanting to sell more tickets sooner rather than later and pulling months forward. The meteorological people, to be fair to them, they're bound by the social calendar most of the Western world has these days, and it's a bit easier to tell people that certain months are the warmest. But, you know, I think most of the meteorologists are physicists, they're scientists. This is a real chance to teach people a bit of astronomy, a bit of nature, and tell them about the Earth's axis being tilted over. So, now, on this winter solstice, the north pole of the Earth will be tipped directly toward the sun. The sun will be highest. South pole will be tipped directly toward the sun. I'm getting it wrong. And the sun will be at its highest, its most southerly point at the Tropic of Capricorn, at 23.5 degrees south.
Now,
and you know, you can learn all these interesting things while you're enjoying the seasons changing.
For sure. And David, I remember last week you told me about the moon there just at the weekend, and I was watching that, the full moon there at the weekend on Saturday, Sunday, and into Monday. And The one thing I saw about the moon is that you could actually see it in the next morning as well. Is that a possibility for the winter solstice to be able to see the moon in the morning? Because you said it's beginning at 9:20, 9:21 a.m.?
Well, sort of, but the phases of the moon are not linked to the Earth's tilt toward the sun. So if the solstice and the moon happen to coincide, it is just a coincidence, and it will change each year. So they are not linked. But we will have the moon in morning skies for a reason we're going to talk about at the moment.
It's yes.
Huge event. Morning. Huge event. So a nice segue in that regard.
Right, let's move to that big event, because it is a massive event, because it involves Mars and the Moon, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's a very rare occasion when the Moon will pass in front of Mars. We call it an occultation. The Moon occults Mars, and people can see the fun beginning when they get up in the morning. So sun rises after between 8 and 9 o'clock, depending on where you are in Ireland, West Coast or East Coast. But just before that, let's say 7 o'clock, it's dark over the entire island. Mm-hmm. If you look at the moon, it'll be high up in the sky. And just to the left of it will be this brilliant star. It's actually the planet Mars. Mars is closest to Earth next month, so it's getting quite bright in the sky. Brighter than all the stars in the sky, 2 or 3 times brighter. So to have that sitting beside the moon tomorrow morning as dawn comes will be a really spectacular naked eye treat. But if you had nothing better to do, you didn't have to go to school or to work, you could keep watching the moon, and as the twilight grew, it would be creeping up on Mars until when the sun rose, it would be hard to see Mars. You probably would have to switch your binoculars at that stage. You'll still see the moon with the naked eye, as you said, but just on the left edge of the moon, you'll see Mars. If you've got a small telescope, you'll see it very well. But binoculars will do it as well. And eventually, around about 9:25, the time varies 5 or 10 minutes around the country, you'll see the edge of the moon crossing Mars. Now, if you had a big telescope, you'd see a disk of Mars, this little red planet, and the edge of the moon just pulling across it like a curtain, taking about 20 seconds to cover Mars. If you're watching in your binoculars, the moon, Mars will still look like a dot, and you'll just see the planet fade away over those 20 seconds. I'm going to be looking through the telescope, probably trying to video the thing. We had a similar event happen with Saturn back in August. Unfortunately, it was clear beforehand, got some nice pictures of Saturn near the moon. At the instant it went behind the moon, the clouds rolled in, typical Irish weather. Few people did get to see it around the country. We're hoping for a better look tomorrow. 9:25 is the time to see Mars going behind the moon. But don't, if you're up early for school or work in the morning, don't miss Mars. As soon as your alarm clock goes off, have a look out. If it's clear, you get a wonderful naked eye spectacle of Mars near the moon, worth looking at every time it happens. And then if you can stay watching till around the 9:30 mark, you're going to get to see this very rare lunar occultation of the planet Mars. And if that weren't enough, Saturn's going to do the same thing on January the 4th. I know we're back next week on New Year's Eve, but little taster for January the 4th. There's going to be 2 planet occultations in less than 1 month. It's about 2 or 3 weeks. Amazing.
Wow. Now, the occultation, is that what you call it, occultation?
Occultation.
Just on the occultation.
So to occult simply means to cover. I know we have the occult, goodness knows what they're covering up, but occultation simply means to cover. We have these fancy words in astronomy. I often just say the moon passes in front of, a bit more of a mouthful to say, but people understand it a bit more than the jargon.
Now, if anyone gets any kind of decent pictures of any of this, you obviously want them to send them to you, do you?
Oh, yes, yeah. We've alerted the thousands of people around the country who get Astronomy On magazine, to send those of their pictures. Even just their comments, if they're watching through a pair of binoculars, will do, because we will record it in the magazine. The magazine, by copyright law, actually gets filed in the National Museums of not just Ireland, but also Great Britain. So it's there for your reports to be seen for all time. And if you get the magazine already, they end up beginning, so everybody should. Page 29 has a write-up of this occultation in the morning and a diagram showing exactly where on the moon's edge Mars is going to vanish and then reappear when it comes out the other side. I don't think I mentioned, actually. That's around the 10:15 mark when it appears on the other side. It's all happening over in the west, so getting low down makes sure you have a clear western horizon. And, of course, you'll be standing with the sun behind you, looking straight ahead is where you're roughly going to see the moon. But if you watch it before the sun rises, you'll know roughly where the moon is anyway from your house.
And I have to say, David, as I said this before to you, I did see that diagram on page 29 of this month's Astronomy Ireland magazine. And I have to say that for anyone interested in astronomy, it's definitely one of those magazines. The way it's written and done is done so simply, and it's not overwhelming when you look at it. It is definitely a credit to you and the team there for the way you put it together, and definitely worth anyone's while if they have any interest in astronomy. And to at least get this magazine, they can get the magazine every month. Is it? It comes out every month, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's very, very popular. I see the subscriptions flying in the last few weeks. Very popular as a gift at Christmas. So especially, you know, when your kid's interested in space, every month they'll get this glossy 48-page Irish magazine that will drop through the letterbox, full of pictures and stories about what people have been seeing in Irish skies. And all the international news, and then these predictions and diagrams of things you just don't want to miss. And so it'll remind them every month of what your Christmas present was. We think it's a great Christmas present in that regard. There's also a weekly email that comes out. We reminded everybody last Wednesday that this Mars occultation is coming up and to be ready. So hopefully they've all got that forefront in their mind. And it's a way of making sure nobody misses out. And you're very kind to say, on behalf of the whole team, how good a job they're doing. And that's what we tell people who help in the magazine. This is aimed at kids and the general public.
Yes.
You know, we want to keep it simple. There are technical magazines for the scientists and the experts. We want the fun side of it.
Now, David, can I just ask you a question? This is off off script now. Can I just ask you a question about the International Space Station? First of all, just for our viewers and for myself as well, how big is the International Space Station?
Well, roughly speaking, you took Croke Park football pitch, you'd be able to plonk it down on that and just nicely fit in, inside the average, you know, football, soccer, even rugby pitch, roughly speaking. There's a bit sticking out all over the place. It's been modules bolted together, giant solar panels, because that's the only way it has of generating its electricity. And inside at the moment, there are seven astronauts. I think there's been up to 12, maybe even more on occasion. But typically, there were supposed to be crews of six. Interesting things are always going on. There's a man called Brian Harvey who writes internationally acclaimed books on the subject of the space programs of Russia, China, and the non-sort of European-American powers. And he very kindly, as a volunteer, writes a two-page column on what's going on in the International Space Station. So we have a world-class expert giving the lowdown what's going on inside. And just to recap very quickly, the two of the astronauts were sent up on a Boeing spacecraft, I think in July, and they had a few problems. They weren't sure it'd be safe to come back, so they decided not to let the crew come back. The thing came back automatically, controlled by computer, actually survived fine, which they sort of expected, but they just didn't want to risk human lives.
They just couldn't take the risk,
yeah. They're not going to come back down till February.
So they're now there till February, is it?
They're stranded, effectively. Thanks to Boeing. A bit embarrassing for NASA and Boeing. If you read the press notices, it's all very positive and glitzy. But this is a big embarrassment.
And why, again, David...
You'd love staying weightless for all those months.
Yeah. Again, David, why does it take so long between that shuttle that was supposed to bring them back, spacecraft that was supposed to bring them back, and then it didn't, it went back itself, controlled by computers. Why does it take so long then? Why are they being left there till February? Why can't they just send, now that they know it worked, why can't they send it up? I mean, I know it's not as simple as that.
Well, it's because of the hundreds of millions of dollars that it would cost. So they don't tend to keep spacecraft sitting on the launch pad just in case there's an emergency. They can reschedule things. The astronauts will be kept busy with lots of work for them to do. It's probably written into their contracts, but if I was an astronaut, they could leave me up for 8 years, not just 8 months. I'd be delighted at the prospect. So there are all these sort of contingency plans, but you know, you see rockets going off all the time. The cheapest ones still cost tens of millions of dollars. Put people on board and the systems have to be super reliable and you're up to hundreds of millions. I remember the space shuttle missions used to cost about $500 million each. So you don't just willy-nilly go up to the International Space Station. You've got to have a reason for years and all the experiments you're going to be conducting on behalf of the scientists back on the ground. So it's very involved. It's not a tourist destination. It's a working laboratory, the ultimate human race working laboratory in the universe, not just in space. So things are taken very seriously, including human safety. I mean, look how many astronauts NASA have lost during the course of the space program.
Absolutely.
They set things back years. Extremely embarrassing and, of course, terrible tragedy. The people and families involved.
Yeah, well, I ask these questions because I know that when I get answers from you, they're going to be straightforward answers that people can understand. There's no rocket science to what excuse the pun, but you're able to just tell it as it is. And tell me, David, that space station will be eventually replaced, won't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's planned to be burnt up in the atmosphere around the 2030 mark. I mean, the first modules were launched, you know, 1998 was the first unmanned module, and the first manned crew was 2001. So we've had it in service for 2.5 decades, and it won't last forever. Technology is always moving on, of course. And the question is, what's going to replace it? Well, the Chinese have their own space station as we speak. Other nations and private companies are planning their own as well. And it cost over $100 billion to get the space station up there. So there's always a chance it might just be extended. Its life has been extended several times. There's Russian-American problems, of course, at the moment in the political sphere.
Yeah.
One of the most interesting things is the Russians and the Americans are working well on the International Space Station.
Exactly.
Wouldn't it be great if the powers on the ground could take
we'll have to leave it there.
Their book?
We'll have to leave it there. Editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine, David Moore, thank you as always for joining me on Kilkenny Today on Community Radio Kilkenny City. A very happy and peaceful Christmas to you and yours, and a happy new year, and I'll talk to you again on New Year's Eve.
Yes, indeed. A Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners.
Thanks a million. That brings us to the end of this evening's program.